Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're very glad you're with us here today on this beautiful weekend. You know, we see things that are cooling off. You know, fall is starting to settle in, so it's kind of this almost a sleepy type thing happening going on. But, you know, we must stay awake. We must stay alert. And one of the great ways to do that is through the Word of God, Liturgy of the Word. And, of course, in this program, this is an outreach, of course, of the Catholic Church. And, you know, we read the readings that are read at Mass throughout the world, Catholic churches throughout the world. And, you know, if you've been away from the church for a long time, you know, we hope that you come back. And we know that, you know, we see the things that are going on today, you know, the craziness of our world, you know, and even craziness that happens in the church, you know, because human beings are running all these institutions. You know, we even look at our own government. We look at our universities, these places of higher learning. And it's just, you know, we're very smart, but we're not very smart. You know, we have so much to learn, and God can really help us and guide us. And taking God totally out of the question, or totally out of the situation, not even being part of the dialogue. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, that's where we have such a huge problem. You know, people don't even want God to speak. People don't even want to hear God's side of it. This is what I want to do, and that's it. And we're going to hear some very beautiful scriptures today, but it's, you know, a big focus on this October 14th, this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, is really about prayer. And, of course, just yesterday we had this, the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, praying the rosary, and it's all about repentance, see? Repentance, repentance, repentance. And we are sinners, my brothers and sisters. If you haven't noticed lately, watch the news. We are sinners. We are horrible sinners. We are disgusting sinners. And a few Sundays back, you know, we had the millstone. You know, that a millstone, if we should hurt any child, a millstone should be hung around our necks and we should be thrown into the sea. I believe that as a just punishment. The gospel says it. Jesus said it. Those very words of Jesus. And things we should take very seriously. We should take sin very seriously. You know, you don't have to kill a person to actually kill the person. And when you abuse someone physically, mentally, sexually, emotionally, you're killing them. You're killing them. You're committing murder. And we're going to talk about that too. So this gradation of sin, you know, from the sin of telling somebody a lie because you don't want to go to their house, or to the very sin of murdering, killing, taking a person's life, ruining their life, destroying their life, defaming them, this defaming their character, see, this defamation of their character. Terrible, horrible things that we do as human beings to one another. And so we need to pray. And so if you're interested in any other things about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, diokzoo.org. And I know that they're having a massive reparation and healing at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in St. Joe, Michigan today at 3 o'clock. Double-check the website, Diocese of Kalamazoo website, for that exact time, diokzoo.org. And I know that the bishop will be Bishop Paul Bradley, who we met with last week, and we try to meet with him at least the first Sunday, have him on the radio the first Sunday of each month. It was wonderful to meet with him, but it's a trying time for the church. It's a difficult time. It's a time for us to clean house. It's a time for us to take people out of ministry completely who should not be in ministry. And people who struggle sexually, struggle with their sexuality, or struggle with their being celibate, as a priest is called to be celibate, and of course deacons as well. You know, we're called to be faithful too to our wives, not to veer from what God calls us to be, to practice chastity, to practice holiness. And when we veer from that, we cannot fulfill our ministry, my brothers and sisters. We cannot. And at some point in time, we need to be removed from our ministry if it continues, because we're leading the flock astray. And if we're in a sinful lifestyle, and we cannot control ourselves, then yeah, that's what has to happen. So very difficult decisions in the church today. But hey, they're difficult decisions for every employer out there who has employees, or in the government or anything. It's very difficult for us to, or family members, you know, that we have to deal with the truth. You cannot let people just go on hurting each other, causing grave sin emotionally, physically, sexually, any of those things. You cannot allow that abuse to continue, and we must not allow that abuse to continue. And in a very special way too, you know, not in a special way, I guess, is the great sin that we commit against children, you know, unborn children. And it's very terrible, my brothers and sisters. It is a great scourge of our world, what we have done, what we have decided to do, where we have decided to go. And it's very sad. And we must pray for one another, and we must pray for healing, and for the church, and for all of us to heal. If you're also interested in anything about other Catholic radio stations, there's also EWTN.com, great Catholic information there about the church, and HolyFamilyRadio.net, a lot of local radio stations. So let us go right into the scripture readings on this 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Our first reading is from the Book of Wisdom. I prayed and prudence was given me. I pleaded, and the spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to a scepter and throne, and deemed riches nothing in comparison with her. Nor did I liken any priceless gem to her, because all gold, in view of her, is a little sand, and before her silver is to be accounted mire. Beyond health and comeliness, I loved her and chose to have her rather than the light, because the splendor of her never yields to sleep. Yet all good things together came to me in her company, and countless riches at her hands. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading from the Book of Wisdom. Our second reading today is from the Book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13. That's Hebrews 4, chapter 4, 12 through 13. Brothers and sisters, indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. No creature is concealed from him, but everything is naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must render an account. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Mark. It's Mark 10, 17 through 30. It's the Gospel of Mark 10, 17 through 30. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up, knelt down before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." He replied and said to him, "Teacher, all of these I have observed from my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You are lacking in one thing. Go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come then, follow me." At that statement, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. So Jesus again said to them in reply, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were exceedingly astonished and said to themselves, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings it is impossible, but not for God. All things are possible for God." Peter began to say to him, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brother or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful words from our scriptures and very challenging words as well. And I go back to this first reading, the Book of Wisdom, and you know, nothing is compared to her. And the church doesn't really have an exact teaching on this chapter of the Book of Wisdom. But I really love to consider, and of course, this is one of those Old Testament books, too, that's only in the Catholic Bible, the original Bible. Okay, a lot of people think that the King James Version, which is from the King of England, the King James Version is the original Bible. Well, it's not. The Catholic Bible is the original Bible. And in the what the church has compiled and put together, contained these Old Testament books that were taken out in the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago, 501 years ago. So, truth be told. So those books are the 1st Maccabees, 2nd Maccabees, Sirach, Wisdom, Tobit, Judith, and parts of Esther, as well as Baruch. So there are 7 more Old Testament books. The New Testament is exactly the same. But there again, you still have variations in the translations, which is also very fascinating to look at that, the difference in words, you know, like using the word favored instead of the word grace. See, grace. This, the church teaches that by the grace of God, we are saved. But we are also, we are saved through our baptism. We are being saved by the reception of sacraments and the reception of God's will in our lives and carrying out that will. And we are saved, hopefully, when we die without mortal sin on our souls. See? But all of those areas, all of those three areas of our lives, see, it's not just simply, you know, one and done, I'm baptized and I'm going to heaven. No, it's going to depend on how you live your life. It's going to depend on if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of this world, of all worlds. And you think about that, you know, but this is so beautiful and reminds me of the Blessed Mother. I pleaded and the Spirit of wisdom came to me. I preferred her to a scepter and a throne. I prayed and prudence was given to me. And you know, these great gifts that are bestowed upon us by God, by the love of Jesus Christ. And to just to meditate on that book of wisdom is so powerful. And so a big part of these scripture readings today is about prayer. It's about prayer. And we're also going to talk about the theology of the body a little bit too. But in case you're just joining us, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich, and we're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And if you got any questions or concerns about the program, you can contact the Diocese of Kalamazoo or HolyFamilyRadio.net, and they can get in touch with me. I'm also at St. John Bosco Catholic Church in Matawan, as well as St. Margaret Mary's in Marcellus. Once in a while, I'm at St. Mary's in Pawpaw as well, but you can also contact St. John Bosco if you want to get a hold of me too. So back to our scriptures. So this is the 28th Sunday in Ordinary Time, October 14th, and it's about prayer, especially this month. You know, it's a beautiful month, Our Lady of the Rosary this month, and a great devotion to the Blessed Mother, and how I know that she's working in such a beautiful way in helping us to expose our sins as well, the sins of the church, the sins of us individually, the sins of us collectively, where areas where we have gone awry, where we have failed and failed miserably, and constantly working on this, especially through prayer and reception of the sacraments, especially the reception of the Holy Eucharist, Holy Communion, to strengthen us and to guide us. But we can still fail. We can still, our will, our self-will, even though Jesus comes to us every day at every Mass in the Holy Eucharist, we can still override that. You know, Jesus makes himself so vulnerable to us as this piece of bread. See, we see this piece of bread. And we have to make a choice. And of course, when we receive that, we're saying to ourselves and the world that we believe what the Catholic Church teaches. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we want to live a life that He has planned out for us. That He has this beautiful life planned for us. Now, things go awry, right? People have different ideas. Husbands or wives have different ideas, and great turmoil happens. But we have to continue to pray. We have to continue to try to persevere through these things. So this is this divine providence from Hebrews chapter 4, 12 through 13. This divine providence that God protects all things which He has made for all of us. And then it comes back to this, you know, from this Genesis reading from last week, you know, that before the fall, when we were naked, before the fall, when we were naked, we were not ashamed. But look how we are ashamed today. And for some good reasons. You know, some people say, well, there shouldn't be Catholic guilt, you know, Catholic guilt. No, it's not Catholic guilt. It's just guilt. It's human guilt. And especially if you're a baptized Christian, it's guilt. It's real guilt. Because the Holy Spirit is groaning. Jesus Christ is groaning inside of you for what you have done. You know, it's just like the blood of Adam, or the blood of the blood of Cain and Abel, right? This blood of Abel screaming out, you know, for justice. That's what happens, my brothers and sisters. When we commit a crime of whatever proportion it is, whatever disparity it is, but especially serious sin, mortal sin, it cries out to God. Not only for you to be reconciled, for me to be reconciled, right? But there also to be justice. And that's what this, you know, here we are, the Ten Commandments, right? We had the millstone. Then last week we had, you know, talking about divorce, which is a type of killing. It's a type of killing. It's a kind of killing. You know, we think murder is just when, you know, you take the life of another person. There's lots of different ways to kill a person. Or a child. Emotionally. Screaming at them. Swearing at them. Not taking them to Mass. Not taking them to church. Not getting them baptized. This is a type of abuse. See? God calls us to address these things as adults. And maybe people say, well, you're too strict, Deacon Louie. That's a terrible thing to say. Can't say that. You know, the problem that we have today is we're not saying the things we should say. Right? We think that all these words that are in Scripture are hyperbole. Right? We use that fancy word, hyperbole. Especially last week when they're talking, you know, week before, they're talking about the millstone. They're talking about if you sin, you know, plucking out your eye, cutting off your hand, cutting off your foot. Jesus is telling us, in a certain way, not in hyperbole, but stop going to those places. Stop touching those things. Stop looking at those things. Stop. He's trying to get our attention. And I said, well, it's just hyperbole. Don't worry about it. Or, you know, we all know a lot of divorced people, so we're not going to talk about divorce. No! We should talk about it. It's terrible. It's awful. It's a horrible sin. It is a sin committed against a family, against a husband and a wife, and against God. Let's call it what it is. Instead of making it like, well, I'm going to go to a different grocery store. Instead of going to Myers, now I'm going to go to Harding's. It's just a decision. Instead of you being my girlfriend, I'm going to have this other girlfriend. Instead of you being my wife, I'm just going to have this girlfriend over here. You know, because I don't want to take care of my family. Abandonment. That's what these things are. And they should be seriously, seriously, seriously considered before they happen. And not just done, just willy-nilly. Right? Consult your parish priest. Consult a good marriage counselor. A good Christian Catholic marriage counselor. One that's interested in saving the marriage. I just want to read this out of the Catechism. So this is out of Catechism 2728. And this is what it's all about here, my brothers and sisters. Finally, our battle has to confront what we really experience as failure in prayer. Discouragement. During periods of dryness, sadness. That because we have great possessions, we have not given all to the Lord. Disappointment over not being heard according to our own will. Wounded pride. Stiffened by the indignity that is ours as sinners. Our resistance to the idea that prayer is a free and unmerited gift. And so forth. And so forth. The conclusion is always the same. What good is it to pray? To overcome these obstacles, we must battle to gain humility, trust, and perseverance. Very difficult things. But prayer is so important. Don't give up. You think about that if you're going through a divorce. What's happened? Do we ever pray? Do we ever go to church? No. Maybe we should pray. See? Beginning to recovery, you know what? You have to pray. I don't know what people are so afraid of. It's your pride. It's your ego that you won't let go of. Wake up. Let go of it. You can't swim with a bowling ball. Your pride, your ego. And let's talk quickly about this. which is St. Pope John Paul's Theology of the Body. And this meaning of the original human experience. And this is right in line with actually last week's scripture. It would have been perfect timing. You know, this is the spiritual life. But we had the other program last week with the bishop, which was awesome. But this meaning of our original human experiences, this is from the general audience of the 12th of December, 1975. The Holy Father observed that the Genesis account, the shame of their nakedness, experienced by the first man and woman after the fall, right? After the fall. The theology of the body analyzes the absence of shame of our first parents despite their nakedness and its bearing on their communication. So, you know, this is like two and a half pages and I invite you to go to EWTN.com and type in Theology of the Body and this general audience of the 12th of December. And it is just so amazing. You know, we only have about a couple minutes left here. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we must pray. We must pray. And we must read. We must fill our minds. Try to hang around the right people. And you know what? When you run out of all your friends, all these people who, you know, oh, you want to be a holy roller or you're holier than thou or blah, blah, blah. Fine. Better for you to save your own life and to be able to go to heaven than to go into hell. See? And we have to think about this. We have to make this decision. These are big time grown up decisions. Okay? And we have to teach our children these things too. That there is a life after this. We live forever in one of two places, heaven or hell. And if you don't believe it, I challenge you to get on your knees and ask God Himself, ask Jesus Christ Himself to make Him known to you. I challenge you to do that. I challenge you to do that this very day. To ask God to show Himself to you. To love you. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you in that prayer. And all we have to do is say, Jesus, please help me. Help me and show me that You're real. Lead me into the Catholic Church. Show me all the blessings. Help me. Please help me. May Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.